Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare. Well, today we're talking about the frustration of fibromyalgia.
Yeah, how'd you like that?
I like that. You came up with that yourself.
Huh? I'm brilliant. What can I say?
So, first of all, why is that?
Why is it frustrating?
Uh-huh.
Well, what they call that is an invisible disease. In other words, you know, if you have cancer, if you have other different types of things, people can actually see the results of it. They understand it. Fibromyalgia is not well understood, even by doctors up until more recently. Matter of fact, it wasn't actually even considered a disease until 1990. It wasn't that long ago. So there was a lot of frustration with it. So patients usually had a credibility problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other words, family members didn't understand. There was a lot of disbelief about all the different types of symptoms.
Did they hear it's in your head?
It's in your head. Doctors were like, okay, you know, whatever. It's mainly women who have it, and women don't always get the credibility that they should, if you understand.
And is fibromyalgia, 90% are women that are diagnosed?
Yeah, the finding they have is about 90% are women.
Wow.
So, you know, there's the whole thing of, well, you know, there doesn't seem to be anything wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not really finding any specific types of things that we can put our fingers on.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, so there was a lot of misunderstanding, credibility, which also increases the anxiety and depression, which actually made the fibromyalgia worse. So, you know, it was a vicious cycle along those lines. And so it was a very frustrating disease.
Mm-hmm. So what is fibromyalgia? I know it's a diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
What actually is it, Dr. Prather?
Well, one of the things that I tell people, and this is definitely my own conclusions along those lines, is it's an autoimmune disease of the lymphatic system.
Okay.
The lymph system goes throughout the entire body. It is very small vessels. Matter of fact, the lymph system wasn't discovered until more recently, you know, so it was not that well understood. Everybody is aware of lymph nodes that are going through the system, but we have a capillary system of the lymphatic system, smaller than the veins and arteries, that runs through the entire system. Matter of fact, one of the main ways that you diagnose fibromyalgia is you actually go to the points of the lymph system and actually press on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're very, very painful. And then what occurs with fibromyalgia is that you have a toxicity buildup in the lymphatic system, because the lymph system, a good way to describe that is the sewage system of the body.
Mm.
So if we have infections, that's oftentimes taken care of through the lymphatic system. If we have toxicities, it's actually transported by the lymphatic system to be gotten rid of. So there's a huge amount of drainage that goes on with the lymph system. So if there's toxicity going on, infection, then the lymph system becomes overburdened. If you have a system in the body that's chronically swollen and under stress and inflamed, then the body can actually decide that that's a foreign invader and start to attack it, which is what happens with fibromyalgia.
Well, that's interesting you say even the lymphatic vessels are smaller than our veins, and yet so much flows through that, right?
There's a very important system that's associated with that. So there's lymphocytes, which are part of the immune system that actually travels through the lymphatic system. That's why they got their name. So it's a very, very important system, very important to your health. And when it becomes inflamed like that, and then the body actually attacks it, it becomes extremely painful.
Yeah.
And a tremendous amount of problems actually occur with that.
Well, even the name fibromyalgia can be a little misleading.
Sure. Because, you know, you have myalgia, which means muscle. And you also have what we considered myofasciitis, which is more of trigger points of the muscles, where that becomes a problem. And those two things actually get confused quite a bit by a lot of doctors who do diagnosis. So I have patients who come in who have been diagnosed with fibromyalgia that actually have myofasciitis, which is actually a different type of condition, different types of problems that actually occur with that, but both of them create quite a bit of pain. Fibromyalgia is very distinguishable, but the only way that you can actually distinguish it is by palpation. So you have to have sensitive fingers. You have to know what you're kind of feeling for. But there is a definite distinction between the two.
And you're distinguishing between the lymph system
and the muscle. And you can actually have fibromyalgia and myofasciitis at the same time.
That doesn't sound like fun
at
all.
That is not fun at all. Okay. That becomes very frustrating. Because some of the treatments for each one are contraindicated in the other. So it becomes much more of a problem.
And I know we have people coming in that
have both. Yeah.
Well, who and how many people have fibromyalgia?
Well, we talked about that women are much more likely to have it than men. So there's a much more prevalence along those lines.
And you said 90%.
90%. And then there's right now estimated that there's about 10 million people in the United States that have fibromyalgia, which is a large number. So, and it's a problem that is actually growing.
Is it younger? Is there an age?
Usually the age of onset is between 20 and 50. So, you know, that's, but you can actually develop it even at into your 80s, but that's where the largest number of women who have it is between the ages of they get it between 20 and 50.
So what causes fibromyalgia?
Well, that's one thing that isn't completely agreed upon. But what, you know, I find in there is that there can be actually a tremendous number of things that actually cause fibromyalgia. You can get all sorts of different types of toxicity. Heavy metal toxicity is something that can occur. Also, there can be problems with the digestive system. That can actually occur quite a bit. Food allergies is a big toxicity that can occur along those lines. There can be different infections, chronic infections. Overall, people with Lyme's disease always has fibromyalgia. Epstein-Barr virus is something that can kick off fibromyalgia. So different types of infections, different types of toxicities, food allergies. As a matter of fact, sensitivities are one of the common symptoms, you know, environmental sensitivities. Almost everyone who has fibromyalgia has environmental sensitivities also. So there's an allergic, there's always a weakened immune system going on. So fibromyalgia is not, and that's one of the frustrating things about that, is it's not a one-cause type of disease. There are many different types of aspects of fibromyalgia that can play a role. So, you know, you need to get to the bottom of what's going on. So diagnostics is extremely important to get to what is actually causing the fibromyalgia. You know, you got 10 people.
Right.
All with fibromyalgia with completely different types of underlying problems that cause it.
Right. Very individual.
Very individualized. So, you know, you can see where doctors and treatments can become very confusing. It's not like, okay, I've got fibromyalgia. This is the treatment regimen that you have for fibromyalgia. It's just, it doesn't work that way.
So what are the symptoms of fibromyalgia?
The symptoms of fibromyalgia, the first one that's always there is, of course, the pain. That's how you need to actually diagnose it. So you, to actually be diagnosed with fibromyalgia, you have to have widespread pain throughout the entire body in all four quadrants. Because if you only have like pains up in the upper back, one leg, things like that, it's more probably myofasciitis. Because the lymph system goes through the entire body. So if you have fibromyalgia, you hurt basically from head to toe. So, which isn't fun.
No.
But if you truly have fibromyalgia, it is a head-to-toe type of a condition. You also have to have a duration of at least 3 months
of the pain.
Of the pain. Mm-hmm. You also have to have at least 11 of 18 palpation points. And those 18 points are basically areas of lymphatic congestion.
Okay.
So you palpate those different points, and you need to have at least 11 of those 18 to actually qualify for diagnosing it as fibromyalgia, which is the autoimmune reaction to the lymph system. So you need to have those types of things. But the symptoms that are involved in that, besides the general pain, which we described, is fatigue. That's just absolutely one of the major things. If you don't really have fatigue with it, you probably don't have fibromyalgia. Because when you have fibromyalgia, it just saps the energy out of you. Matter of fact, if you do different types of studies on the electromagnetic potential of people, it's always very low in fibromyalgia. And that's because the lymph system does actually create a lot of the electromagnetic energy of the body.
Mm-hmm.
So you always have a fatigue issue, which is very real. It also creates a sleep disorder. So there is when you have fibromyalgia, there's also changes in the brain waves because the lymph system does actually have, goes up to the brain, and it has some very dramatic effects through the brain. People call it fibromyalgia brain fog.
Fog. Mm-hmm.
So you can't, you know, your cognitive thinking really becomes, as a matter of fact, you can actually measure it, that people are not cognitively thinking correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that whole fog type of thing, which also affects the sleep. And then as the sleep becomes worse, it actually makes the fibromyalgia worse. As a matter of fact, if you can usually get a patient to sleep well, then they automatically have a decrease in their fibromyalgia pain.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you that's something that always has to be addressed. There's also IBS.
Irritable bowel syndrome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so with irritable bowel syndrome, there's always some gut influence going on. So you always have to look to the gut as one of the causes of fibromyalgia. But IBS is universally there for anyone with fibromyalgia. Headaches and migraines, anxiety and depression, and then, of course, the environmental sensitivities that we talked about, too.
Okay, well, when we come back, let's talk more about the frustration of fibromyalgia. You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. Let's talk about the different treatments here at the Prather Practice that are effective in infertility.
The most famous one is acupuncture.
Mm-hmm.
Acupuncture, that's one of the things. We have a very well-known acupuncture part of our practice. I'm a licensed acupuncturist, and so most women... most couples that are coming in for the acupuncture portion. But we also let them know that there's a lot of other things that we can do that can actually help that have been well proven to facilitate pregnancy.
Well, let's go back to acupuncture. Mm-hmm. How does that help in infertility?
There's no doubt that there's quite a bit of results with acupuncture. As a matter of fact, a lot of infertility clinics, because it has improved the rate so much, is that they've added that in to part of their practice. So there's no doubt that that helps. One of the things that I have found is that acupuncture is absolutely amazing on two things. One, it reduces the inflammation in through the body.
Mm-hmm.
And inflammation, high amounts, especially in the reproductive area, will certainly kick off infertility. So a reduction in inflammation is one of the basic types of things. The other thing that it definitely has been proven to have an effect on is the hormones of the body. Acupuncture really improves the oxytocin, which is sort of your feel-good, happy place.
That's what I hear mostly from patients after their acupuncture.
Sure.
You know, they feel so much better.
Right.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the things that you can do just to feel better immediately. I have a lot of people who have sleep disturbances, anxiety. I've had so many people who, with some regular acupuncture treatments, no longer need anti-anxiety medication. Mm. So there's just this really feel-good, and oxytocin high levels is definitely one of the hormones that really helps with fertility. So that's been very well proven, and we see that evident on every patient almost that we do. Acupuncture definitely has an effect on both of those things, and both of those things has a big part in infertility. If you're going through infertility as an issue, absolutely acupuncture is 100% safe, no real side effects. It would be foolish not to do that.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest. Well, we're talking today about the frustration of fibromyalgia. And Dr. Prather, very interesting what you were saying about the lymph system. You feel that the lymph system has a lot to do with fibromyalgia.
Oh, it's completely. It's an autoimmune disease of the lymphatic system. Fibromyalgia is not truly fibromyalgia unless the lymph system is involved. It's a different diagnosis, though.
Interesting. And the lymph system, you said, is smaller vessels than our veins, and it goes throughout the whole body, even up into the brain.
Even into the brain.
Interesting. So why is the lymph system so new to us?
Well, it was newer just because it was a smaller vessel, so it was harder to find on cadavers. Mm-hmm. You know, when people died, then they would collapse. So it wasn't as evident.
Okay. Well, let's talk about what the established treatments for fibromyalgia are and how effective they are.
Well, the drugs for fibromyalgia are actually pretty recent. Of course, first they needed to establish that it was actually a disease. Mm-hmm. Then they started to say, well, you know, we've got a new disease. We've got to find some drugs for it, which makes sense. So in 2007, they came up with Lyrica, and then 2008, Cymbalta was approved for that, and Savella in 2009. So those are the established drugs to help with fibromyalgia, and they're not designed to help with the disease itself, you know, with the underlying problem.
It's more the symptoms.
But they do help with the symptomatology. Mm-hmm. So those can provide relief in the meantime until you get to the underlying cause and then actually get that fixed.
Okay. So that is the traditional treatment for fibromyalgia right now.
Right now, that is the established treatment for fibromyalgia.
Well, let's talk about the treatment here at the Prather Practice, the structure-function treatment. So I have a patient walking in with that diagnosis of fibromyalgia. Mm-hmm. How do you treat it?
Well, the National Fibromyalgia Association, which is sort of the spokesperson for fibromyalgia, pretty well acknowledged by everyone as probably the best group out there that supports people with fibromyalgia, supports research, that type of thing, stated that chiropractic is probably the most helpful treatment for fibromyalgia. Out there.
Wow. So, and why is that?
It helps with the congestion. Basically, anything that you can do to get the congestion opened up.
And when you say congestion.
Of the lymphatic system.
Okay.
You know, because it's actually a backup. And then if you can keep the lymph system flowing, you don't really have pain involved. It's when the flow of the lymphatic system stops and gets congested, it becomes extremely painful. So as long as you can keep the flow going, it really isn't a problem. In chiropractic, it's not just any type of chiropractic.
Right.
There are specific techniques that are involved in that. So you can actually learn lymphatic adjusting techniques for fibromyalgia. And if you are familiar with those, they can really do amazing things. help with the fibromyalgia. You can get changes right that day.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. So the Association for Fibromyalgia.
Fibromyalgia Association has found that probably chiropractic on their research, mm-hmm. That they've actually done studies of anything out there has had the greatest effect.
Have you found that in your experience,
Jim? Oh, absolutely. People with fibromyalgia are just thrilled with the results of the chiropractic and how helpful that is. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not the only thing that should be done.
Right, right.
You know, it opens it up, but you're oftentimes not addressing the underlying problem still. Mm-hmm. So symptomatic relief is dramatic. As long as they're seen on a regular basis, you can keep that under control, which is extremely important. But, you know, we go further than that here.
Right, right, with the root issue.
We really try to find out what the root issue and how to get that fixed.
Well, let's talk about acupuncture. Acupuncture help fibromyalgia?
Well, they did studies on acupuncture also, and they have found that acupuncture does help. But a very interesting thing was that it worked just as well as what they called sham techniques. It was the people who were doing the research really don't understand it, acupuncture. What they did is they did acupuncture needles and hit the different points for fibromyalgia and got excellent results. There was a great deal. Then they would also take toothpicks, mm-hmm. and then tap the acupuncture points and actually got about as good a results as the acupuncture needles. Mm-hmm. But both of them got great results, and what they don't understand is that really, if you study the Chinese techniques, that was actually one of the techniques that you do with acupuncture. You don't necessarily need to just use metal needles.
Right.
They also used wood. They used powders. We actually have powders in here. You can use laser. You can use electrical. Matter of fact, there's many ways that you can actually stimulate an acupuncture point. And to be honest with you, wooden toothpicks are actually excellent. You can get really good results just by tapping.
Our listeners out there are going to
start tapping themselves, right? But, you know, it's funny, and they said, well, you know, then maybe it's psychological because we really didn't. But
right.
It's just a matter of not understanding how acupuncture works.
People think it's just the metal needles, but that's just one element.
That's just one element in the whole process. I mean, they mm-hmm. had moxibustion. There were five different elements that you can use to actually open up the acupuncture points, and you can use any of those. So I found it rather humorous, you know, uh-huh. reading it. But, you know, it's just a matter of the people who are doing the research don't understand the science behind acupuncture.
Mm-hmm.
It's really what. So you have to read into reports, mm-hmm. you know, because they had put out a thing that, you know, acupuncture really wasn't any better than sham, you know, work.
Mm-hmm.
But in other words, they were treating with both, and actually with fibromyalgia, toothpicks might actually be more effective.
Mm-hmm. So have you found acupuncture? And
absolutely. I just had a patient came in yesterday who was coming in to give acupuncture a try for the fibromyalgia because she had heard several people who had used it. And we did some acupuncture on her, and the pain was gone before she left.
Mm.
So, you know, it's another very, very effective means of working with it. Again, different people respond differently to different things. So we've got a lot of different ways of working on it. And actually, as we combine the chiropractic and acupuncture, we even get better results than one or the other.
Mm-hmm. Well, what other modalities do you have here at the Prather practice that are helpful?
One of the things that we like quite a bit is auricular therapy. It's very good for, we definitely have a neurological component into fibromyalgia. And the auricular therapy is the keyboards to the brain. So we use microcurrent on the ears. And you can get some dramatic changes in the nervous system, changes in the beta and theta waves.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you know, they've done studies on people with fibromyalgia, and fibromyalgia changes the brain waves of the body. When you should have beta waves, you're getting theta waves. That's why you have brain fog.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's directly related to the fibromyalgia disease. And you can really help to change that around with auricular therapy. So a very important part of the treatment is also getting the whole nervous system working right. And the autonomic nervous system is best contacted through auricular therapy. You can do an awful lot with that. There's also diathermy. What we do with diathermy is it's big magnets, mm-hmm. basically, is what we're using. And it's a shortwave diathermy, which opens up the lymphatic tissue, and you can get amazing results with that. Another different type of modality, that's very helpful. We have electrical currents that help to take down the inflammation. We have massage in here. Mm-hmm. We have different types of liniments. So there are many different ways that we can work with that. We also have quantum resonance systems where we can change the electromagnetic charge and increase that because mm-hmm. that's something that's very low in the body. Then there's also, of course, the supplements, homeopathy, herbals. Depending on what the underlying problem is, that's how we can actually get those under control.
We even have the vibration platform.
Exercise is where that actually comes.
It's got to be a vicious cycle for fibromyalgia patients because they need to be moving because you need to get that. That's how you get essential. The lymph system moving.
Sure.
But they don't feel like moving because they're in pain.
Right. And it does become, you lose sleep, you become fatigued, you stop doing the things that actually build energy mm-hmm. in your body, and it becomes a huge problem.
Well, when we come back, let's talk about what supplementation you have found helpful for the treatment of fibromyalgia.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Laughter is the best medicine.
My wife and I, we love watching like Dateline 2020, those shows. But you know how every week they will feature a disease? And I swear to you, every week, no matter what the disease is, my wife has it. There'll be three people on the planet that have this disease. My wife is one of them. She just watches it going, I've got it. I have every one of those symptoms. I'm like, you do not have testicular cancer. You don't even have testiculars.
The Voice of Health Minute with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
And that's also why iodine is very important. 50% of the iodine is in the muscles. One of the things, if there's a severe iodine deficiency, then you start to have flabby muscles. We had a boxer who came in, and one of the things he was...
Not the dog, right?
No. He was a professional athlete.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things we did was we found low iodine, started him on the iodine in his muscle. He said, all of a sudden my muscles are popping up. So for those gentlemen who are trying to get strong muscles...
Or women.
And they don't want flabby muscles, iodine is absolutely essential. What you do is you find out what the deficiency kind of seems to cause, flabby muscles, keep the iodine levels up, and then you actually have good toned muscles. Mm-hmm. Makes a very big difference.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
A special message from the DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice.
Are you tired of making the same weight loss resolution only to end up right back where you started? Let the professionals at DTS Weight Loss Center take all the frustration out of dieting. Our nutritionists and wellness coaches know what works for every body type and can develop a plan specific to your needs throughout your medically supervised program. Make the change by visiting us online at dtsweightlosscenter.com. Dedicate. Transform. Succeed.
When you call the Prather Practice to schedule your appointment at our DTS Weight Loss Center, mention the Voice of Health radio show and you'll receive a free initial consultation plus a free body composition analysis. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice. Dedicate, transform, succeed.
I was feeling so bad.
I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue. We're talking today about the frustration of fibromyalgia. And Dr. Prather, we were talking about the treatments that you have here at the Prather Practice that are helpful. We see a lot of patients that have been diagnosed with fibromyalgia because traditionally there's not a lot of options except for prescription medicine.
And that's for symptomatic. It's not really for trying to get the person well.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we were talking about treatments that have been found to be highly effective, chiropractic, acupuncture. We were talking about auricular therapy. What about supplementation? What supplementation have you found helpful for fibromyalgia?
Whichever one they need.
Good answer.
If we find that the person is low on vitamin D, getting the vitamin D levels back up to par, low on iodine, if they're low on zinc, too high on copper, or vice versa, it's a matter of homeostasis.
Balancing the body.
Balancing the body. So supplementation, if you're low on something, you know, you need to get it up. If you're high on something, then you need to get it down. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of bringing the body back into homeostasis, and homeostasis is the definition of health. And if you have fibromyalgia, you are way out of homeostasis to be able to get to that point. In other words, the body is just, you know, it's collapsing. So something is either too high, too low, and probably more than one thing. So doing the proper diagnostics, find out what is out of balance, getting those minerals, vitamins, fatty acids into balance brings the body, does wonders for it. Mm-hmm. Also, finding out if there is infections, you know, how you can boost the immune system. Always when we check people with fibromyalgia, they have a weakened immune system. It's 100% along the board.
Yeah.
If you don't have a weakened immune system, you don't have fibromyalgia. And the main thing that we find is the absolute lymphocytes are low, usually 1.0 or below. That is always the finding that we find with fibromyalgia patients. So if we can get the immune system working right, then we can make a very big difference along those lines.
Well, I want to get to diagnostics next, but I want to talk about one other treatment that we do here at the Prather Practice using the QEEG and how neurofeedback can help.
Absolutely. And QEEG is a diagnostic, and if you have fibromyalgia, your brain waves are off.
Mm-hmm.
It's guaranteed. If they aren't off, you don't have fibromyalgia. So it affects the brain, and that's another area that needs to be addressed. So the QEEG is a diagnostic to actually find it. Matter of fact, you can bring someone in and do a QEEG on them and say, oh, you have fibromyalgia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that clear.
Clear. And that's something we do here at the Prather Practice.
That is something that we do here. And then there is a neurofeedback where the brain is retrained to bring the beta waves back into proper balance. So there's a balancing of the, again, homeostasis.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing the brain waves back in, there's exercises that you can actually do that is mapped out and then can be followed. Make sure that that occurs. And when you do that, the fibromyalgia actually decreases quite dramatically. You start sleeping well, the anxiety and depression goes away.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another avenue that we approach it. You know, we're not a one-trick pony.
Uh-huh.
We have all the different ways that you can approach this particular problem and then combine them into a whole, and we can all work together to get the maximum results for the patient.
Well, I just think of that verse, we're fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yes.
And so we are, you know, everybody's blood chemistry is different, and the way we treat is going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
So you have 10 people coming in with fibromyalgia, we're not going to be treating them the same way. Because
correct.
Their blood chemistry is going to be showing us different things.
Absolutely.
Well, let's go into the diagnostics then. Why are diagnostics important in fibromyalgia?
Well, just because you have a diagnosis of fibromyalgia doesn't give me a treatment pattern. Mm-hmm. I need to find out why you have fibromyalgia. And there are, as we said, many different types of reasons. You know, I can think of 10 different patients and 10 different causes. Mm-hmm. I can think of, infections. Again, we had talked about Lyme's disease, but there's actually 45 different types of tick bites that they carry different types of diseases. Rickettsia, there's several different ones. So
45 different.
45 different, let alone all the different kinds of Lyme's. So, that can, and those are very much infections that attack the lymphatic system. Mm-hmm. So, if you have those, then you have fibromyalgia. There are viruses that can be involved in that, heavy metal toxicities. We've had people with lead toxicity, manganese toxicity that kicked it off. Those are different types of areas that, you need to be aware of. There can be severe imbalances in the zinc and copper balance. Mm-hmm. It has to be lined up, and if there's a tremendous difference on that, that can actually be an underlying cause.
Well, let's talk about, blood work is very important here at the Prather Practice, very extensive blood work that we do. So what are you looking for in the blood work?
Well, I'm looking for, first off, if we're looking at fibromyalgia, what's going on with the immune system? Mm-hmm. So we need to see what the immunoglobulins are, possibly going into that in extent, doing an assay on that, seeing where the lymphocytes, are involved and what type of an imbalance is occurring along those lines. Mm-hmm. So really doing some good diagnostics along the immune system, also going into what infections could be going on, getting into those types of areas. Also the liver is extremely important, liver and kidney function. How are the lungs working? Mm-hmm. There can be problems that start to occur in that area. Matter of fact, we had a patient that fibromyalgia, but the underlying cause was a mold in their house.
Oh.
And that was actually coming in through the lungs. So
how did you figure?
Well, we did blood tests, and CO2 was extremely high. We did lung function. Then we sent over someone to do an analysis of the house, found the mold, and voila. Mm-hmm. We got her on some anti-mold products. Excellent results. Had to move out of the house. Mm-hmm. But one kept her from developing. She had continued on that and just been taking the Cymbalta, which she was, for the fibromyalgia. It would have led to death. Mm-hmm. So, if you have fibromyalgia, there's something that, just because you're taking a medicine that gets quite a bit of relief, there's something going on that you need to address. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, there's other things. You're not really fixing the problem, and something can become really, really serious.
Okay, well, let's talk. Talked about the blood work and the different diagnostics. You've been talking about zinc, copper. Why is a hair analysis important?
Well, the hair analysis is a nice, inexpensive tissue analysis of the body, and it's a great way to find out what the mineral tissues are, and if they're out of balance, then that's a good indication of something that we need to address. Mm-hmm. Also, if there's mercury, arsenic, lead, other different types of toxicities in there, then that needs to be looked at. Mm-hmm. So looking at the hair analysis can be sometimes one of the critical things that people are missing. Mm-hmm. Just like I had one patient who kept on saying he didn't want to do it. It was actually a guy with fibromyalgia. And come to find out, when we finally did it, had lead right out the roof. It's like, we're still missing something.
Right.
You should be better by now. Mm-hmm. Please do the Stille hair analysis.
The Stille?
Silly hair analysis. You've got to have the full diagnostics to be able to fix people.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we found the lead, and guess what? Much, much better.
Uh-huh. He's probably glad he finally did it.
Yeah. People can be stubborn.
Uh-huh.
It's like, if I don't have the full information, it's very hard for me to get the right treatment.
Mm-hmm. And that test is $110.
I know.
Insurance doesn't cover it.
Well, that was the whole thing. Insurance covered the blood work and also the GI. But it didn't cover the hair analysis, so he didn't want to do it. It's like, it's $110. How long have you been suffering with this?
Yeah. Interesting what we'll spend money on.
I know.
Why is it important to evaluate the gut? You were just talking about the GI, which is our gastrointestinal test.
Well, for fibromyalgia, IBS is irritable bowel syndrome is always a factor, and the gut is always an issue. The immune system originates in the gut. If you don't have, if something's going on with the gut, then the immune system's crashing. If the immune system's crashing, then the gut's a problem. So you have to look at the gut. Fibromyalgia is absolutely essential to evaluate the gut. If you're not doing it, it's not going to work.
Interesting. When we come back, let's talk about lifestyle and diet and their importance in fibromyalgia.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
Dr. Prather, what is homeopathy?
Homeopathy is the laws of similars. What they found is that they would take a product, some type of a substance, and if it could reproduce the same symptoms in large amounts, then it would be able to then be used in small amounts to stop those symptoms in someone's health. And interestingly enough, what they found, they started that with quinine. Quinine is what's used to treat malaria. It was something that was a big deal back in the time that they were first coming up with homeopathy. And the cinchona bark is where quinine comes from. And one of the things that Samuel Hahnemann did was he took large amounts of it and was able to show that he was able to reproduce the same symptoms as malaria. So then if you took it into smaller quantities, then you could actually get relief of those symptoms instead of actually suffering with them. There was a typhoid epidemic in France, and Napoleon hired Hahnemann to treat his French subjects, and he was able to stop the typhoid. And then Napoleon's army came down with cholera, and he was able to stop the cholera epidemic through homeopathy, where the normal type of treatments didn't work. So it's the law of similars. That's where the homeo comes from. And then pathic is, of course, diseases. So homeopathy is very much like when you are working with allergies. So let's say you have an allergy to ragweed. So what you do in trying to stop the allergies is you will take a smaller and smaller dose. The smaller the dose, the more effective the reactions on stopping the allergies. So we use the laws of homeopathy in allergy treatments. In the same way, we can use homeopathy as a treatment more on a vibrational level that stimulates the body to correct itself.
So not only for allergies, but for
Everything. It's amazing all the different types of things that homeopathy can be used for. As a matter of fact, homeopathy can be used for every single disease or discomfort that people have
condition.
Out there.
Condition.
Yeah, absolutely anything. So it's a very versatile type of a treatment. It works with the body instead of against the body. And one of the nice things is that there's no side effects.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. Detailed lab tests are crucial to understanding your health. As Dr. Prather always says, if you don't test, you don't know. There are certain lab tests that all of us should have at least once per year. At the Prather Practice, we recommend three affordable tests that provide the blueprint to your health. The Prather Profile is the most comprehensive blood analysis available, providing more information about the function of your body than any other test.
Minerals are the common deficiencies in the body, and hair analysis is the most effective way to analyze mineral levels. The bowels have the largest influence on the immune system, and the best way to test that is through the GI Effects Stool Kit. The Prather Profile Blood Analysis and the GI Effects Stool Kit are even covered by most insurances. Don't guess when it comes to your health. Discover the blueprint to your health at the Prather Practice by calling us at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients. We're talking about the frustration of fibromyalgia, which is very interesting, Dr. Prather. Really, the things you're talking about and it being a lymph system, mm-hmm. We're not hearing a lot of that.
Yeah, even in the... In the literature or a lot of the science or even rheumatologists, the guys who are doing the research realize that it is, mm-hmm. because that's how they came up with the diagnosis. It was the lymph nodes, areas, the congestions of lymph, that those 18 points. So mm-hmm. you have 18 points of lymphatic accumulation, and those are the points that you actually poke on.
Well, it's interesting because lymph massage now is a big thing.
Sure.
Especially for cancer patients and breast cancer. But the lymph system needs to be moving constantly.
Absolutely.
And all the time for wellness and sure. prevention.
Sure.
So let's talk about why is lifestyle important in fibromyalgia?
Well, it's the lifestyle that eventually led to the fibromyalgia occurring. Mm.
What do you mean by that?
Well, if you allow yourself to get run down, mm-hmm. fatigued, overworked, poor diet, poor exercise, then you can actually start to develop, the underlying problems that can lead to fibromyalgia.
So it's living that balanced lifestyle.
It's living in homeostasis. If you're in homeostasis and maintain that, you won't get fibromyalgia.
Mm-hmm.
So, a good working immune system, your diet is correct, then that mm-hmm. goes a long ways. Then you don't have the nutritional deficiencies that can actually help to lead to that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's lifestyle that is absolutely critical.
So the importance of diet. What does the diet look like? What do you mean?
Well, it's eating well. If you have too much sugar, you're mm-hmm. going to weaken your immune system.
Mm-hmm.
If you eat all carbs, it's going to be a problem. You have to get your nutrients from your diet, and then. One of the easy ways to fix fibromyalgia is by taking stress off the diet. Always food allergies are involved. Everyone with fibromyalgia has food allergies.
Mm.
So one of the things that we recommend along those lines is the 5-day rotation diet.
Okay.
Very important part of getting well and can really make a very big difference. So again, eating a variety of foods. If you eat the same thing all the time, the body's not really made to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have variety. And if you don't repeat a food in a 4-day period, immunoglobulins only live 4 days, and therefore you don't have any type of reaction. 80% of the stress on the immune system comes from the gut.
Mm. 80%?
80%.
Wow, that is high.
So that is why it's so important to look to the gut. And also why it's so important to have a proper diet when you're trying to get rid of fibromyalgia.
Mm-hmm.
That will really speed up the process. Because you're talking about 80% of the stress on the lymph system coming from the gut.
Mm-hmm.
So addressing the gut, addressing diet is a very, very important aspect. And you're really not going to make success unless you do.
Let's talk about exercise. Why
sure.
is exercise important? I know movement's important for the lymph system.
The lymph system has three major pumps. The shoulders. So moving the shoulders is extremely important to keep the lymph system open. Matter of fact, getting a frozen shoulder is actually a sign that usually your lymph system's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, keeping the shoulder moving is important. The diaphragm, is another pump for the lymph system, and the calves. So those are the three major systems that we try to get our fibromyalgia patients to actually start moving. And if they can start to move those, they can actually get some relief. Matter of fact, one of the things is they've done studies on band or symphony conductors.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And they all live until, you know, their 90s, very, very healthy.
Yeah, they're moving their arms. They're
right.
Up on their toes.
Sure. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. the big things. And the thing that they said that they all had in common wasn't any other different types of factors, but their exercise. Mm-hmm. They were always waving their arms, so they got the shoulder pump going.
Mm-hmm.
They teach other people how to breathe properly, because to be a good musician, you have to breathe with your diaphragm.
Mm-hmm.
So they're constantly doing that diaphragmatic breathing, and then they're also going up and down on their calves. Matter mm-hmm. of fact, we had a music teacher, professor, mm-hmm. from Ball State who came in, and it was amazing how healthy it was.
Oh, yeah.
But he was constantly doing that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He was constantly moving his shoulders, breathing diaphragmatically, and pumping his calves. And it's amazing how young he was for the age he was, mm-hmm. wasn't it?
Yeah. And I think people don't realize the diaphragm is a muscle.
The diaphragm is a muscle.
Mm-hmm. It's in there, but it's a muscle that needs to be exercised
sure.
through the deep breathing. People aren't thinking of it in that way.
Right.
And they're doing that shallow breathing, which isn't exercising it at all.
Matter of fact, shallow breathing, how deep you breathe is one of the biggest indicators on how long you will live, mm-hmm. even more than genetics or smoking.
Even more than?
Even
wow.
more.
Wow. I'm going to start deep breathing.
There we go.
How about sleep? You talked about the lack of sleep is one of the symptoms of fibromyalgia.
Certainly.
So sleep plays an important role. Why is that, and how can that be helpful?
Well, sleep deprivation will change the, if you do that on a constant basis, it does change the brain waves. It does slow down the lymphatic flow. It also tightens up the diaphragm. So when you don't sleep the proper amount, then you start to set up the whole situation for the fibromyalgia to start coming in. And then it, once you have fibromyalgia, your sleep is part of the whole process of sleep deprivation that even causes it to go further, because now you can't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So having proper amount of sleep, having the deep sleep, making sure that that's done properly is extremely important for, one, prevention of fibromyalgia, and then also getting well from it.
And you said a lot of times just helping people sleep really...
If you can get people
helps.
To sleep, then yeah. we see a definite change in the fibromyalgia itself.
Interesting.
So...
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about depression and anxiety. What role do these play and the importance of counseling?
If you are depressed and you have anxiety, your chances of getting fibromyalgia increase tenfold.
Why is that?
Well, if you are having depression and anxiety, it changes your whole physiology.
Mm-hmm.
It changes you from alkaline to more acidic. It changes your brain waves. It weakens the immune system and shuts down the digestive system. There's a whole evaluation from Hans Selye on that. So it's absolutely critical how we think. And one of the things that is very important for fibromyalgia patients is also counseling during that time. Because there's oftentimes the original cause of that was depression and anxiety. But of course, that's also one of the results of fibromyalgia. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's always a portion of what needs to be looked at is the counseling portion in anyone with fibromyalgia. Because usually there's some emotional issues. It makes a very big difference and a very critical part of everyone's care.
Great. Well, thank you, Dr. Prather. Very informative on the frustration of fibromyalgia, but there is hope. Thank
there
you.
There is hope.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.